Welcome. Hello, James. Hello, Ing.
Hello,
We're welcoming.
Amy. Who cares about James?
We're welcoming our friend Ing from Malaysia. She was kind enough to join us today to talk about her experiences in the fashion industry and as a photojournalist. And I was just thrilled. I've just been thrilled to meet you and get to know you through this process. We met online.
Everyone, thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. I wanted to find out how you guys met. Why are you talking?
Tell them, Ing. How'd we meet?
We met through a game.
I know, through Tropic Escape, of all things.
Gamers, aren't we?
Yeah.
Hardcore. Yeah. And we just started talking. And then we decided to go offline from the game and connect on Instagram. And then we've been talking and having some video chats. And it's just been really fun.
So what happened? Did one of you invade the other's island on subtropical? How do you get into communities there?
It's just a really crazy game. All we do is grow crops and fulfill orders for cruises. It's really the most benign. There's no guns.
What?
There's no, like, I know.
That's not an online game. I think you're mistaken.
No pirates.
No pirates.
I guess it's just to fulfill our inner farmers, just to grow crops and sell stuff. Probably that's where we're heading, with the pandemic. We have to grow our own crops.
So how do they taste when you grow them yourself?
I imagine it would be fantastic with
If you
a
could
hint
eat
of
them?
seaweed because it all happens on an island.
I know mine are pretty bland since they're not real,
Well,
but it's like
wouldn't it be great if you could plant them in the game and then they would ship them to you?
that would be awesome.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, it's a
That
great,
is.
well, I have ideas. I don't know if they're all great, but I have a lot of ideas.
And we can't always make them happen.
Yeah,
We
well.
can't always make them happen. So yeah, so that's how we met. It's just been fun.
So, Catherine,
Yes, ma'am,
anytime, did
sir.
you say yes, ma'am?
I think so. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Anytime Ing is talking, shut up.
Okay, got it.
All right, so are we going to talk about fashion? Because I don't know anything about fashion. Did you looking at me right now? I'm wearing a gray t-shirt.
I'm wearing a black t-shirt
So
with holes in it.
I think Ing is going to have to educate us on fashion.
Yes. Yeah. Tell us about your fashion experiences.
I initially wanted to be a fashion designer. I've been drawing since young, but then when I was about to choose my degree, I realized that I can't sew for nuts. And I'm too lazy to do that. So I chose another major, which is journalism. But somehow I had the chance to attend fashion shows as a journalist. And I really enjoyed them. I mean, seeing the designs coming down the runway, that rush, that feeling, the excitement. So it kind of fulfilled a part of my fashion dreams, even though I'm not designing the clothes myself. So about a few years ago, I think in 2013, I got to know about Seoul Fashion Week, and I told myself, if I was just gonna wait to be assigned to Korea, it would never happen because, the editors do just grab all the good trips. So I would take leave from work, and it's a self-funded trip, so I would pay for the trip, airfare, accommodation, everything, and just fly myself there. And later write about it as a contributor to the paper I work for.
Oh, very cool.
Well, sometimes that's what it takes. You just got to go out and start doing it. I've always told everyone around me, if you want to be a painter or a singer or something, just start doing it. Because writers and painters, they don't sit around talking about it and waiting for it to happen. They start painting and they start writing. And that's what makes you a writer or a painter or a journalist. The words of wisdom from James. It's enough of that.
That's totally true because if I would have waited, I think until now, especially, with what's going on with all the travel ban, I would never have made it to Korea if I just waited for a chance to be sent there. So
But
yeah, you're totally right.
it's funny that you studied design, fashion design. I studied design. I don't know if you're aware of this, Catherine, but I went to RISD.
Did you?
Yes, I
That
did.
never
I
came up
know. I
before.
know I haven't mentioned that before. It's something I don't like to brag about too much.
Yeah, okay.
But
I'm glad to know that.
while I was there, I took a lot of different classes, and I actually took a fashion design class, and I was able to do the pinning and the sewing and all kinds of different things. But the one thing that got me was the design part.
Really?
At the end of the class, I was looking at my work and I said, I can't do this. I am terrible with design, fashion design. So I moved on.
Okay.
I found chairs to be a lot easier to design than clothing.
Chairs. Oh, interesting.
Well, office furniture
Okay.
and wine glasses.
Wow.
And massage chairs, all kinds of things. All kinds of things across my palate over the years. So when was the last time you, or I guess you haven't been to Korea in a while, but you've still been covering Seoul Fashion Week. So what was the last coverage you were able to take a look at?
The last time I was there was 3 years ago. That was, you know, before the whole pandemic started. Mm-hmm. I was there for Seoul Fashion Week. I think it was Spring Summer Collection 2019. Mm-hmm. I was really excited that I got to go there again. But I was pretty a little bit more selective this time. You know, I don't rush for all 60 over shows because that's kind of tiring. I'll just pick some of the designers that I like. There are about 60 shows per season, which is a mix of established designers and also new and upcoming ones. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that the which one is better, because sometimes the new designers have some funky ideas that they show and they have like refreshing ways of showcasing. You know, sometimes they come out, it's not just like a normal runway. They would have like, maybe put on a show. Sometimes they bring in like a pianist, like, or a violinist to add on some spice to their show. Mm-hmm. So it's quite fun.
Interesting.
So what would your day be like if you wake up in the morning?
Okay, I would wake up really early because some of the shows start at 9 a.m., which is totally not for fashion people. The morning shows are pretty empty. Wake up, rush to the venue, and usually I would have my mask on because I wouldn't have time for makeup. That was before the pandemic where we had put a mask, but the mask helps to cover my bare face. Uh-huh. And I rush to the first shows. And we only break 10 minutes in between because there are three hall venues, and thankfully they're situated next to each other. Unlike Tokyo Fashion Week, where sometimes you have to take a cab to another place. I mean, I haven't been there, but that's what I heard. So it's great that I could just run from one venue to another because the halls are just next to each other.
Right. How long are the shows?
Shows take about 5 minutes.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's quick. So how many do you get through in a day like that where you're not trying to do all of them, but you're trying to pick a couple of good ones?
Five a day.
Do you shoot pictures while you're there, or do you get pictures from the fashion designers?
I do everything. It's a one-man show. I shoot photos, and then I would have another camera on my lap or on the floor to take videos. Mm-hmm. And later, if I would have the chance, I'll interview the designers, but sometimes I don't get to do that. So yeah, interviews, photos, videos, all of my own one-man show.
I love that we can do that now. The technology is easy enough to interact with that any of us can use it. Audio, video, stills, writing. Well, I guess writing takes a little bit more skill than the rest of them these days. But it's nice to know that you can go out there and just do it all yourself. Of course, that puts a lot of burden on you as well.
Yeah, but I'm living my dream, so no complaints.
I love it. I just love it.
So what are fashion people like?
Yeah, that's what I would like to know.
Oh, don't get me started on that. Yeah, they are the good ones and the bad ones. I mean, the good ones are probably the fashionable ones, the ones who are always ready to be photographed. I mean, they're fun. You see them in funky designs or weird, but, you know, to each his own. But we have those people at fashion weeks. You could tell that it's their first show or something because the way they see, the way they're in the way of the cameraman, like, at some shows, you know, people are seated a bit close to each other because the designers want a lot of people to attend. So they probably place them quite close to each other. And your feet would be on the runway.
Oh my gosh.
And I had some photographers yelling, please uncross your legs because you're in the frame. And you would shout in a few languages like Korean, English, and probably French, you know, tell them like, please uncross your legs. I know you want to be a model, but you are not. So please don't get in the frame. But most of the people I meet are okay. It's just that a few of them, you know, which would irritate us. Oh, and the worst ones are the K-pop fans. Oh. They would get this huge ass DSLRs and whack us over the head with it. Just take photos of their favorite idols who are attending the fashion shows. Not of the models, not of the designs, but of their favorite superstars. And then they'll click, click, click away. Oh, it's so annoying. Yeah, I'm not sure how they got in, but hello, security, drag these people out.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll try to develop a device that can turn all DSLRs off in the room.
Yeah, I know.
So 5 minutes is as long as these shows last.
Yeah, but that's our attention span anyway these days.
Right. Well, exactly. It seems like such a short amount of time for all the work that goes into pulling the collection together.
I'm sure they spend months, you know, sewing all their creations and all is done. But of course, they don't just show it at Seoul Fashion Week. Some of them actually showcase it overseas, like Paris Fashion Week,
right,
or some other shows. So it's not just like what that one show. But and it's fun. I really miss it there.
When? Oh, yeah, I bet you do. When would the shows be over for you during the day? Or would you break in the middle of the day?
We would sometimes break for lunch or not, depending. And I think the last show would be about 8 p.m. So it's okay. About like from 9 or 10 a.m. to, so it's almost 12 hours there. Mm-hmm. And after that, we get a break. And if we're lucky, there's going to be a fashion after party. Oh, yeah, great. By some of the designers. Yeah, so we would get a cab and go to one of the venues. And, well, I guess most people are there to network. I'm there for just the food.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to have that focus. You know, if you're there for one thing, you can really focus and do a good job on that one thing, the food.
Whatever people say about fashion models not eating, that's not true, because most of the time when I reach the venue, it's all gobbled up by the models. So,
oh, no.
Yeah. I wish they hated food, but no, they don't.
They're probably relieved that the show's over and they could eat or something. Who knows?
I mean, I don't know who those people are. I know there were some people just randomly taking photos. Mm-hmm. And she was stopped by someone there and said, oh, please do not take a photo of the star. But the photographer was actually a foreigner and she's just a student intern. And she said, mm-hmm. Who's that? You know, like we don't even know who they are. But, you know, obviously there's someone, but we don't know. We were just taking random photos of people, you know, interacting with each other at the event. Yeah, but sometimes you do, if you're lucky, you do get to meet celebrities there, even though you don't know who they are.
Yeah.
Have you met anyone that you knew who they were?
Not really.
Not really?
As I said, I'm just there for the food.
Yeah. Oh, I love that focus. That's awesome. That's so awesome.
Like I said at the beginning, since I don't understand fashion, when you see these collections, you know, how do you make sense of it when you see them? And when you see a collection, what goes through your mind?
You know what? After 60 shows, it's all a blur sometimes. Mm-hmm. The ones that stand out would probably be those that really put on a show, because it's not just about the designs. Like sometimes they would set up the venue, they would place like glass on the floor, so you'd have a nice reflection when they walk past, or they even set it up to be like a garden setting. Those shows would stick out, you know. There are some that would actually they would bring in K-pop stars to their shows. That's fun. But of course, at the end of the day, it's the designs that should matter. And it depends, you know. There are some designs that I could still remember to now. There are certain brand names that, you know, that every year they're going to have something that would be eye-catching, you know, that people would talk about it in the press. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, some of them, they never fail to impress.
Wow.
And do you feel like there's a consensus that builds around certain fashion, certain pieces or certain design collections? Or is it everybody kind of takes away their own opinions on these things?
The thing, from what I could see, I mean, from my opinion in Korea, that a lot of things are heavily centered around celebrities. Like mm-hmm. you would say, oh, this like designer A designs for celebrity ABC, you know, oh, he's known for making clothes for this drama. You know, it's mm-hmm. quite, centered around their K-pop or K-drama kind of trend.
If I showed up there not knowing anything about K-pop, I probably wouldn't be able to make heads or tails of what was going on or the people around there.
But I think you would have a more unbiased opinion on which are the best ones, you know, instead of being influenced by the trends or which celebrity is wearing who. I think you would have a more... a clearer idea of which designs you like best, because it's based on your perspective, your opinion.
So, Ing, are you suggesting that I should start covering South Korean Fashion Week?
You totally should. And you should go. You would be loved. sorry for saying this, because, thing is, could I say this on there? They are racist in a good way that would say your way, because mm-hmm. they would look at you and might think, is he a superstar from Hollywood? Like, I know some of the kids there, they would flock towards a foreigner, a foreign-looking face. I mean, I'm a foreigner, but they wouldn't guess so because I'm Asian. So they would flock towards foreign-looking face and think you might be someone.
Boy, they would be disappointed. I could say, yeah, I have two podcasts. I'm a huge star.
You totally should, because I know that there are many foreigners who probably students who are studying at some Korean university around there. They would just dress up and walk around the Seoul Fashion Week venue and hope to be photographed. And they always do.
That's so funny.
Oh, that's so funny. James, I think you should go.
Oh, yeah. No, it's on my list now.
Okay, good. I'm excited for you.
I speak so much Korean. Oh, how hard can it be? I'm watching that Squid Game thing. It looks easy. They're all able to speak it. And they all speak, it sounds like English to me.
You're watching it in English.
Oh, yeah. Whatever.
It might work to your favor. I mean, not knowing Korean. I mean, it's better if you know the basics. But even if you don't, first of all, I think people there are really nice and helpful. Secondly, I remember this incident where I was entering one of the hall venues and I was stopped because they said, "We're not sitting the local press now." They mistook me for a Korean. Mm-hmm. But then I started speaking English and I said, "Excuse me, I don't understand. Where's my seat?" And they all just began flustering and it was like, "Oh no, foreign press. Yeah, I mean, they were saying it in Korean, which I could understand a bit. But yeah, I just told them I'm a foreigner.
And
they just, I wasn't lying. So, and they sat me immediately.
Oh, so I can, oh, well, that's good to know. I can be sat immediately. Okay, in the front row.
In the front row, yes. They like foreign faces in the front row.
Oh, so you're set, James.
Yeah, I'm sure.
If you don't do this, I'll be so disappointed for you.
I'm just worried that I would wear the wrong thing. So what should I wear?
I guess if you have the looks, anything goes.
Well, that might be a problem.
People dress up or dress down. They wear all kinds of things. And you're like, wait, is that fashion? But, you know, anything goes.
Is that fashion? Yeah,
do they have H&M in Korea?
Yeah, they do.
Well, maybe you could take me to H&M and dress me before we go to the fashion week. Try to blend in a little bit.
I guess you're pretty set to go there.
All right, got my ticket now.
I love this. I'm so glad you guys connected over this. It sounds like a plan.
it's really nice to attend the shows. Even locally, the ones that I have to go for assignments, fashion or art. As I said, you know, I'm always there for the food. You know.
Well, and that was a funny thing. I had a gallery in Houston when I lived in Houston, Texas. As part of the business, you have to buy cheese and wine. And those are two things I don't consume. Every week I was buying, well, not every week, every month I was buying wine and cheese. And I never bought so much wine and cheese, or I never bought so much food I never ate in my entire life than when I was running a gallery. But I hope you people appreciate it, because you're driving us to bankruptcy.
Thanks for feeding the press.
Well, you know, have a snack, but then buy something. Or not.
I was wondering, like, how much are your artworks priced? I mean, the range, because the ones that I've been to, they are like, they could range from 3 digits to 4, 5. Like a down payment for a car.
Right. That's mostly marketing. But when my gallery was, you know, not exactly the highest level gallery in Houston. So we had pieces as low as $100. I actually had a specific show that I set up that was, every piece was $100. I had I had a 12-inch squares that I had created for the artists, and anyone who wanted to participate and get a 12-inch square, and they could paint it up. And then I called it art without the artist, because they were, until you bought it, you wouldn't know who actually made it. So it was anonymous until you bought it. But from there, I think the most expensive painting I ever sold was only $1,800, which was more expensive than average for my gallery. But that was, I had a few pieces that were a little bit more than that, but a lot of them were in the hundreds of dollars.
I see. What sort of painting was that?
Well, I represented a lot of different artists. It was all good, but it did actually range. I had some younger artists who were very good at just representational painting. They did basically painted their friends or painted portraits and things like that. And I had much more abstract painters. And I had some sculptors, and it really was the whole gamut of art that I showed. Again, just trying to do the best.
Speaking of like art shows that I've covered, I really like speaking to the artists about what inspires them, what's the message or story behind their paintings, especially if it's not so obvious, like the abstract paintings. or even the ones like a portrait, like I would ask them, who is this? Is it a family member? Is it a self-portrait? That part I really enjoy. But this is the other thing. Some of the guests who attend the shows, what I hate is when I'm interviewing an artist and someone just cuts in, interrupts us rudely without an excuse me or sorry, just to get a photo with the artist.
Wow.
And I'm like, yeah, is this your first time? I mean, they're probably family and friends of the artist. And I guess it's probably their first or only chance to be at an art show, an art exhibition. And they probably want that photo for the gram, you know, or to tell everyone, hey, you know, I could be at culture events. I'm cultured. No, you're not, because you just interrupted my interview.
I think you're being very generous. I think they're just rude people. And there are plenty of them out there.
I can't believe it. They would just walk in between me and the designer just to get an autograph or a photo. What happened to excuse me or, you know, I'm sorry, could I bug, you know, could I just interrupt for a few seconds? And I would be fine because I know you're excited to see the artist, but dude, just an excuse me would do.
Right.
Ing, I have a perfect solution for you. I think you should carry a taser with you from now on. And anybody who gets in between you and the artist, just tase them.
Oh, gosh. Please don't put ideas in my head because I might just do that.
All right. If you give me your address, I might be able to send you one.
I'm so tempted.
That's bad, James.
You can
funny.
Turn it down. Just give him a little shock.
I would have fun and I would probably get fired the next day. Not just because I'll be arrested.
Okay.
And because some of the people, they would say like, make sure you write a nice article because and say hello to your boss because we are friends. I know who and who, they would name drop and all that.
Oh, okay, you might get fired, but you'd also be a celebrity. I guarantee everybody would be talking about Ing.
I'm torn now because...
Don't you want to be on the front page?
Not in that way, but to tase someone, that would be fun. I mean, the excitement itself would probably be, you know, the reward.
Catherine, I like her energy.
I know. I knew you'd like her. I knew you'd like her.
I mean, I don't know if you'd be able to tase someone, Catherine. Could you tase someone?
No.
Well, yeah, see, that's the problem. You got to go for it. You got to be willing to go for it. You just never get
there.
I had
a stun gun briefly, but then you have to get so close to them to stun them.
What do you think a taser is?
I thought it isn't the taser has like a little thing that like jumps out and then like sticks.
Well, yeah. Okay. That's a gun. I mean, you can also have a tase rod and you stick them with a rod.
Yeah. I don't know. I never used it. I tased a watermelon once.
Well, maybe we should do some sparring so that you understand that if you want to be getting a fight with someone, you have to be close in. You can't stand back and just not let them come to you. Well, you can do that, but in order to have a real fight, you got to get in there. Got to get right up in there.
Wait, Catherine, what was that about a watermelon?
I tased a watermelon.
What did it do to you?
Seriously.
I just wanted to see what happened. It just shook a little bit. I don't think I did it right.
If you could do that to a poor defenseless fruit, I mean, I'm sure you have no problem doing it to any person who's rude enough to interrupt your conversation.
That's what I was thinking.
Well, you guys are like mind meld.
I'm worried about you now. And Ing, I don't know if you know this about Catherine, but she has a shed outside of her house which is filled with human torsos.
Okay, I've seen a shed. She showed me that day, but I've never seen the torsos.
She talks about them a lot. Last week she was talking, oh, I walked in the room and I found three more torsos. It's like, yeah, because that's normal.
Oh, they're all good projects gone bad, James.
That's what they say.
That's what
Hannibal Lecter would say. Well, you know, it started off as a good session, but then it kind of ended up with, you know, them in my oven.
No. Let's get back to fashion. Not the torsos.
How about you guys? Like, what, have you been to any fashion shows? Like,
nope.
No, sir. Once I did my final project for that fashion class, they said, you're not allowed here anymore. Go away.
Oh, no.
Shoot.
Did they really?
No, they didn't. No, it was just, I think the instructor was very nice about it. Mm-hmm. But she said, you know, James, I mean, you got the skill and you completed the project, but I think it's time for you to go back to industrial design now.
Oh, wow.
Which I totally got. I, you know, can't argue with her. She was right.
I think the same would happen to me because I'm horrible. Actually, I think I'm just too lazy to sew.
Agree.
Yeah, I'm just too lazy. But I could always do what my friend does. Like she would design and send her work to a tailor and get it made. So you don't have to do the tailoring yourself. But of course, I know you should. Yeah. I guess you should do the the basics. You must at least know the basics. So in case something happens at the show, you could quickly sew it up. But other than that, I guess you could rely on really skillful tailors to help you out.
Yeah, you still have to know how to sew, though, and not necessarily to actually do the sewing, but to understand how the garments go together. And that was the most interesting part of it for me, was not the design part of it, was just the idea that you're taking flat material and then creating it into a three-dimensional shape. That's what I took away from it. And plus,
the construction.
Yeah, the other thing I took away is that the sewing machine is an amazing piece of machinery. It's a very, actually, you can see one here in the video. Where is it? Sorry, I'm barely able to do it. It's over there. I don't know if you can see it. Anyway, my point being,
okay,
the sewing machine is an amazing making machine. You can make so many different things with it, and it's so small and yet so versatile. So it's it's one, I mean, you can have a table saw, but it limits you to what you can cut. You can have a bandsaw, you can have all these other tools, you can have a welding machine, but I think the sewing machine beats them all as far as flexibility, and it's cheap, they're small, and they can do almost anything, but you can make a lot of things with them.
Sorry, have you made anything on it?
I've made all kinds of things. Bags, curtains. I made a couple of costumes for my son. I haven't used it in a while, but what was the last thing I made? I don't remember the last thing. I made a bunch of bags for my paintings.
Those were cool, though.
Yeah,
those were nice.
Yeah.
Well, but it was a nice bag.
Thank you. Well, if you bought the painting, you'd get the bag.
Okay. I have a couple. So I have three sewing machines here. I have my grandmother's old treadle machine.
Why do you always have multiples? And whatever, you know, you had two tripods. Why do you have, you don't need two tripods. Why do you have three sewing machines?
I don't know. Well, my mother has this old Kenmore. No, wait. I have four sewing machines.
Oh my God.
I have my mother's old Kenmore. I have my grandmother's treadle that is absolutely gorgeous. And of everything, I would keep that one, even though you got to pump it with your feet. Like, it's not electric. It's just you pump it. And then I've got like this commercial sewing machine that I don't even think it works. And then I bought one. Well, actually, Cheryl just gave it to me. It was like this old, it looks like yours, like that one there.
Yeah, that's a Kenmore.
It's a new home. Oh, yeah. I think my mom's has a Kenmore, but that's a new home or something. It's like an old, like 70s or 80s. I think it was her mom's. And I took it away, had it serviced, brought it home, lent it to a friend. She gave it back to, I've never even threaded it.
Well, I'm glad you have it then. I'm glad you have
four. Yeah, I'm so happy. And I don't sew. I'm sorry, Ing. We're digressing from our guest. But
so you guys still play, was that Pop Tropica? Was that the one you were playing?
Tropic Escape.
I'm sorry. Tropic Escape. You guys still playing that?
I play intermittently right now. I haven't had a lot of time.
I do. It really helps to de-stress. Somehow planting pineapples and all that, even though it's virtual pineapples, it just somehow helps me to de-stress.
Right. Right. Yeah. I'm kind of missing. There's a cruise going on right now, but I was in the midst of doing some trashing out of this house and I told them I couldn't participate in the cruise. I filled a couple orders today, but I just can't. The amount of time that it takes, I just can't devote it.
But we got to let James know that the cruise is not like a fun thing where you get to go and enjoy. It's actually a lot of challenges and like orders you have to fulfill. You know, it's not just go there sipping on martinis.
No, virtually. They order martinis or like little drinks and we have to make them.
Do.
Yeah, they order the drinks. We have to make them and then fill the orders for these people. And they're either like old people or they're dressed in circus costumes. They have different themes. I know it's just like crazy, isn't it, James?
Yes, it's so okay. I mean, I just get on. When I get on to play video games, I shoot people. It's so much simpler. Boom, boom, down they go. I don't have to make anybody drinks.
Oh my gosh.
I used to play those. I mean, the shooting games, but I guess sometimes I'm just not that quick on reflexes, even though those are not real guns. But and I would just be terminated in within the first round. So yeah, I'm not that good at those shooting games.
I have strategy. I have two things that works in my favor. I usually play with a team, which is very important. We work together as a team and I go with people who are better than me.
Ah.
And I stand behind them when they get shot. After they're dead, I can finish killing the person they were working on.
Oh, for God's sakes.
That's what I do when I cross the road. Like, I always stand behind someone. So, if, you know, if a truck hits us, you know, I'm behind someone. There's someone in between.
A cushion. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
It's like your own personal cushion.
It's like your own personal Squid Games.
So, have you been watching that thing?
I've watched the there's this YouTube channel where they just tell you what happens in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. The TLDR version. Yeah. So I watched that. I haven't watched the actual one because I just unsubscribed from Netflix just to save cost. But I
resubscribe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I'm borrowing someone else's account now just to watch it because they wanted me to watch it. And I think the 5 minute version is probably better because I've watched the first three. What's that?
Sorry, so you watched the entire series?
No, I've watched three episodes and they've been kind of slow. So I think the 5 minute version may have been a little bit better.
Oh, you watched three now?
Yes. The only thing I find interesting about it really is it's to look into another culture. And because I don't know all the tropes associated with Korean television, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, you watch an American mm-hmm. show and you pretty much know what's going to happen because they're all mm-hmm. basically the same. But this is totally alien to me because I don't know anything about Korea.
Yeah.
It's funny how much it's being stirred up. I mean, from Squid Games.
It is, isn't it? Catherine? No, I said mm-hmm. it's just a really, yeah, it's just stirred up so many conversations. You know, but I also don't think it's a really great first Korean drama experience because there are a lot of innuendos or subtle things about like Korean culture. Just like if you followed it or if you had followed other dramas, you probably wouldn't catch on just watching this one as a first one. I don't think it's that representative necessarily because it's a dystopian kind of scenario. And I think a lot has been lost in the translation. I don't speak Korean. There's so much lost in the translation. It has to be a little bit more nuanced than I think what we're hearing. And the English translation, I watched it twice. I watched it with the English.
Wow. That's dubbing. Pretty hardcore.
I was hard freaking core. Well, my folks wanted to watch it. And I, like I told you, I got through the first two episodes. I'm like, I can't do this. And it's, I don't like watching foreign film or anything without the actual language. Cause I think you miss certain subtleties in the acting, whether you can understand the language or not. So I did watch it in English the first time and it was really dissonant to me. And it took me about 3 or 4 episodes to get into it. And I finished it. And then I watched it on my own in Korean with the subtitles. And the subtitles were actually different than the English translation when I heard it. It was completely different. Not completely different. It was subtly different. Okay. It was different enough to make
those are different
sense.
Words. Those are different words.
Yeah, it was different enough to make more sense when I watched it in Korean, not understanding the language. I can pick up a word or three here and there, but not the whole context of the sentence. But I think between the acting and their lips moving as they were saying the words in concert with, you know, how the acting should have been and the emotions met, you know, their vocal quality better than with the English dubbing. And then the translation and the subtitles was different and was almost like a different show. Anyway, that's just my take.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like watching foreign films in their original language. Correct. Because I was in Norway and it was kind of funny seeing Jackie Chan speaking in Norwegian.
I almost joked. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I was drinking tea. That's funny. Yeah.
I know some places they do a really good job where they try to find someone who sort of sounds like the actors or the mm-hmm. actresses, but most of the time you don't get it for real. And it's just funny seeing, you know, the actress that you grew up with watching speaking in a foreign language, you know, mm-hmm. it's just different. Yeah. And as you mm-hmm. said, you know, a lot of things get lost in translation. And I should know better because I used to do subtitles for movies.
Oh, you did? And
I did. And I got a game show, a Taiwanese game show, which I had to translate into Malay, which is the national language. Mm-hmm. And I cried. Because there were so many puns, so many play on words, mm-hmm. idioms, proverbs, anything. And you can't translate them no matter how much you try. And the jokes, and it was for a variety show.
Mm-hmm.
I cried. I think I somehow finished it, but I'm not sure how I did it. That was 10 years ago. I somehow managed to do it. But yeah, it was really tough to translate jokes.
Oh, well, yeah, I can see that being difficult. I'll be right back. Just one
okay.
second. You may continue talking to each other.
Okay, we will continue talking. So are you having fun doing this?
I am. I mean, I'm just worried that whenever we talk over each other, but poor James, he would have to sort out the technicalities.
Yeah, that. He will. He's good at that. What is he getting? His cat? That's a cat. So no, I think we're doing good.
I had to
You're
get
delightful.
My cat.
Oh, okay.
He was whining outside.
Aw.
Hang, I just want to make sure you understand this. As an American, I understand this in my bones that anything that's translated into American is going to be better. because American is the best.
What?
Well, Catherine doesn't realize this because she hasn't traveled as much as I have, but American is just the best language.
Everything
is better.
The language.
Hey, I've been to England and whatever they speak over there is not what we speak over here. So I said American. American.
I had like a cringe moment, but okay.
Yeah. So did you learn English or American when you were growing up, Aang?
I guess American, because I was, as I always tell people, that Mowgli was raised by the wolves in Jungle Book. Mm-hmm. I was raised by American TV.
Very good. You must be very good. Well, very well settled then.
Yeah, I grew up watching cartoons from the States. So English is my first language anyway. Yeah, as you said, I have a bit of tough time understanding British English, even though that's what we're taught in schools. Like we're a Commonwealth country. So mm-hmm. we spell our flavor, color, all with the O-U-R.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, mm-hmm. it's, so it's S-E instead of Z-E, like colorized. We use the S-E. It's right. All British spelling, but in terms of speaking, it's mostly American. But usually for Malaysians, you get a mix. You know, we speak in this accent that you can't tell, like, where is she from?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We speak jumble up. But yeah, American TV. That's who raised me.
Did you watch Gilligan's Island?
No.
That's too bad. You should go back and watch that.
A lot of cartoons. Let me see. Sesame Street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Care Bears. Am I sharing my age now?
Yeah, actually, kind of. How old are you? I guess you don't have to answer
30s.
That. Oh, yeah, she's.
Yeah, I'm in my 30s. Yeah.
Care Bears.
I mean, your kids nowadays are like, Care Bears? What I do? Thundercats? Yeah. what, Genie in a Bottle? It's not my time, but I watch reruns of it now.
Oh, I loved I Dream of Genie.
Yeah.
I wanted to live in her bottle.
Why? Oh, I guess you're not claustrophobic.
No, I just liked her little bottle.
Wow.
And I wanted to live in the bottle.
I think it was a lamp, but you know.
Or whatever it was round.
Or was it? I don't remember.
It had cushions. It had very few episodes they show her inside the bottle. Yeah, it was a lamp.
Lamp. Would you stop saying bottle? It's a lamp.
Well, it looked like a bottle. I don't know what
Genies come out of lamps.
Okay. It was a round. Go ahead.
Yeah, inside it was like a 70s flat, but on the outside it was... You know, like a 5th century lamp.
I liked her. I liked that. What else did you watch?
I could say I'm a TV addict.
Mm-hmm.
I used to know the TV guide by heart when I was a kid.
Oh, wow.
I would know. Yeah, like at 9 a.m. there would be this card, like Sesame Street, and 10 a.m. is this. But over the years, I noticed that the cartoons just aren't the ones that the one I grew up with. How should I say it? Probably because it's different these days, you know. I mean, SpongeBob is still great, but the new ones, you know, I don't know what kids are watching these days. You know, I tune into the TV and it's like, oh, that's for kids.
Yeah.
I don't know what kids are watching.
Often it's not. You know, there are a lot of cartoons out there that are not for kids that kids watch anyway.
I mean, I'm not talking about American Dad and all that.
That would be one thing. Yeah, that's definitely a cartoon that's not for kids.
I mean, those I would still understand, but the other cartoons that I watch these days are like, oh, I pity the kids, you know.
No, that's a generational thing, you know.
I'm showing my age.
Well, the new generation is always dumb and watching the wrong thing and not appreciating what they should be. You know, it's normal.
I'm glad I'm not the only one feeling that. Do you guys watch cartoons?
Yeah, I watch Archer and what are the cartoons I've been watching recently? Archer is the main one.
Archer's
I mean,
good.
It is technically a cartoon. It doesn't feel like it. You know, I've been thinking about rewatching Futurama because it's been a while since I've seen that. Do we have anything else we want to talk about fashion-wise, or should we wrap it up for this season or this episode?
It's up to you guys.
Well, it's up to Aang if she wants any other bombs that she wants to drop on us from the fashion world.
The funny thing is, after a show, I would have to go out to the seats. Let's say if I'm in the photo zone, like if I'm not seated front row, there's a separate zone for photographers at the end of the runway. We call it the photo zone. Mm-hmm. So we're parked there for the show. And after the show ends, I would go up to the front row seats to take up the scraps of paper that are being discarded by the guests, because they would take whatever goodies that's in the goodie bag and throw away the press release. And I would pick it up, you know, like the scraps of paper, to find out bits of information to give them publicity.
Oh, gosh.
And I don't get anything. Like, I don't get any of the goodies that the VIPs get. Mm-hmm. And yet I'm the one who's providing them publicity. It's funny. Yeah, it is. People think, why should I not trash? But I need that. I need that information from my writings. You know,
oh my God, uncle. That's ingenious. That's genius.
Well, yeah. It's, you know, I guess it depends on what you're there for. If you're there for the goodie bag, if you're there for the info.
Right.
Well, survival. I would like the goodie bag, but it's not enough. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you want both. Yeah. Why can't you have both?
Why couldn't she have both? I'm upset that she couldn't.
I'm going to petition. I think Ing should get a goodie bag with the information. She doesn't have to go digging around the seats after they've been vacated. I want her to get the goodie bag with the goodies in it, like a new iPhone, and also whatever information that the designer needs to give out.
Right. And I want this retro. Yeah. I want it retroactive to 2013. Every goodie bag.
You are owed several hundred goodie bags at this point. Is there an attorney you have at your paper that you work at? Because they need to work on this.
We need to write this wrong. This is egregious.
We have no rights. Oh, don't let me get started on that about journalist rights and no pressure.
We'll have you back for another podcast. We'll do this again.
Another episode, like a few episodes. Oh, yeah. And the story about goodie bags. Oh, but I do remember once that I was late for an event. And they say, we ran out of goodie bags. I'm like, okay. As long as they have the press release, I'm okay. But mm-hmm. the PR was nice enough to send the goodie bag the next day to my office.
Oh. Yeah.
And then one of the editors called up the PR and told him off and say, our reporters are just there to do their jobs, not to get goodie bags. Don't ever do this again.
You see, the beautiful thing about a taser is that you can use it in multiple different ways. And this seems like another way you could use a taser. It's like, as he's on the phone telling people not to send you gifts, this would be a good time to tase him.
I wish I knew you earlier, James.
This is the thing. You're doing them a favor. You're teaching mm-hmm. them how to behave properly. Anytime you get mm-hmm. tased by Ing, you know you were doing something wrong so you can correct your behavior. So mm-hmm. you're making them better people. It hurts you more than it hurts them, really, at the end of the day.
And in the end, I'm making the world a better place.
Of course.
Yes.
The stuff we don't learn in schools. Wow, that's amazing, James.
Well, mm-hmm. I try. And I don't think we can end on a better note than that.
No, I don't think so. That was like a high point.
Well, just the amazing part.
Yeah. Oh, the amazing part. I was thinking the violence.
When's the last time you called me amazing, Catherine?
Never.
Yeah, that's what I thought. All right. Thank you, guys.
Now we know. New Year's resolution, get a taser.
Or tasers.
Good taser.
Well, you or want a multiple. Backup. Yeah. You need to have at least one backup.
Exactly, James. You know, backup.
Thank you, Ing.
Thank you, Ing. This was so delightful. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
We'll do it again. Really, we'll do it again if you're up for it.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
You could be our international correspondent.
I have so many stories to tell. Like, my friends would say, okay, what's this? What's a tea? Please spill. What are the stories?
You could be our international tea spiller. I love it.
I like that title.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Have a good day. And safe travels, James.
Thank you.